Our second scripture reading today is not the one that you see printed in the bulletin. It is James chapter 5, verses 8 to 16. And you do have little blue Bibles in the pews, so if you do want to follow along with a Bible in your hand, that's always good, because I will be reflecting back on some of the verses in the sermon, too. So it's James chapter 5, verses 8 to 16. Listen now for the word of God. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite young Presbyterian theologians, her name is Pastor Rachel Held Evans. And she writes a blog and also books, too, besides preaching. And this time she wrote about the use of oil in the church for anointing. She says, "The ancients knew the healing properties of oils, which were applied to wounds and ingested as medicine. When James instructs the early church to anoint the sick with oil and to lay their hands on the sick and pray, the prescription is both practical and spiritually significant. The journey through suffering is a holy journey, one the Messiah himself knew well. Healing may come through medicine, through prayer, through sacred presence, but always with God's grace and forgiveness. The universal church defines the anointing of the sick as the conferral of a special grace on the one experiencing difficulties inherent in the condition of life on earth, such as grave illness or aging. Even in death, the sick are anointed, reminded that the seal of the Holy Spirit is more permanent than the grave. But there is nothing magical about the oil. It is merely a carrier of memory, of healing, of God's grace. We anoint not to expect a cure always, but to heal. We anoint to soothe, to dignify, and even in our suffering, to remember the grace of God. Anointing can also create a space for a sacred gathering of the Christian community. An example was demonstrated of this in the life of the missionary, Dr. Alfred Heasty. He was a medical missionary in Africa. Now, Dr. Heasty was a member of a Presbyterian congregation in the Midwest, him and his wife. before he went off to Africa. And when his wife talked about her husband, she often said, "When I married Alfred, I thought since I was marrying a doctor, he would have to work long hours. But I had no idea I was marrying a missionary too, and I also would be working long hours with him." They lived in very primitive conditions in Africa, but Mrs. Heasty found ways to be happy. She said, "One of the few luxuries I had were Cool Whip containers." She said, "Can you imagine Cool Whip containers becoming a luxury?" She said, "We used them in Africa to store our food because they kept the bugs and rodents out of our home. The bugs were about the size of mice, and the mice were about the size of cats." Now, Mrs. Heasty remembered when one day her husband came home for lunch, and apparently on his walk home, he saw some prisoners eating their meal off the ground. The men guarding the prisoners just would pour their food out on the sandy soil, and the prisoners would have to scoop up their food off the ground mixed with sand and dirt and bugs. She said, "My Alfred saw that, and it really touched him, and he came home and he told me about it. And then he announced that he had arranged to give the guards free medical care if they promised to give the prisoners their food on a dish, and they agreed." She said, "So my husband asked me to gather up all my Cool Whip containers." She said, "My Cool Whip containers? What are you thinking, Alfred?" She said, "What are we gonna do, have bugs in our food?" And she said, "Alfred just looked at me and said, 'What are you afraid of?'" And she said, "I'm afraid this is part of the good news of the gospel, isn't it, Alfred?" And he said, "Yes, but isn't it wonderful?" Now, this same Dr. Heasty and his wife, after many years, retired from their mission in Africa, and they became neighbors of their pastor in the Midwest. And Pastor Donovan remembered one afternoon he heard a knock on his door, and there was Alfred. And he told him that he was dying, and he wanted Pastor Donovan to get the elders together and to anoint his head with oil and pray over him like they used to do in Africa. Now, Reverend Donovan said, "Alfred, I don't think we do that. We're Presbyterian." But Alfred said, "Yes, we do. It's in the Book of Order. And more importantly, it's in the Bible, in the book of James, chapter 5, said Alfred. And after being reassured that anointing with the oil was in the Book of Order, the elders all gathered and they laid hands on Dr. Heasty, anointing his head with oil and saying the most beautiful prayers for healing. Now, Dr. Heasty died later that year, but now looking back, Pastor Donovan reflects on the day of his anointing and says that preventing his death wasn't the purpose of our gathering. The purpose of the oil and the prayers and the community was to find themselves gathered up in the kind of grace that takes up all of our fears for the future and makes them sit down in the heavenly places. Now, there are many kinds of healing, but the word healing doesn't mean cure. Healing means the process of becoming sound or feeling healthy again or whole. Cure is defined as to relieve a person or animal of the symptoms of a disease or condition. Cure is disease-oriented. Healing is wholeness-oriented. When we say, "May you be healed in body, mind, and spirit," we are praying for God's will to be done. We cannot claim to cure every illness with an anointing with oil and prayer, but we offer a sense of God's healing grace and forgiving love. Now, I do believe in miracles, and I also believe that healing comes in many forms. If you're spiritually healed but the illness remains, We know, and even scientific studies have proven, that a strong spirit is very beneficial for coping with suffering and pain, no matter what it is. When suffering is accepted and embraced, there's a new perspective on life that can lead to a new relationship with God, too. That is the foundation of the book of Job, when you read it. His suffering challenged his relationship with God and made it deeper in the end. Accepting that all lives experience some form of suffering can be a path to peace between people, too. When we are humbled by sickness or pain from losses, we may learn to appreciate the little things in life that we never noticed before, like an hour without pain, or a day without rain, time spent with family and friends. What we focus on, we become. If you focus on the suffering, it becomes your life. There's a famous saying that says, in this life, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. In life and in death, we belong to God. That's one of the things I always say at memorial services. In life and in death, we belong to God. God is with us in the midst of the pain and in the midst of the joys. Pain serves, though, as an important purpose and can be seen as a gift, especially when it is protective. It tells us there's something wrong that needs to be corrected. Pain can help us create human connections with other people who understand as well. For example, post-traumatic stress pain that results from being a soldier in the war connects veterans with each other when they come back. I believe pain and suffering connects us to each other and to God on a deeper level than joy and happiness. But they are all potential connections. Being in support groups, such as in church groups, boosts your immune system, and it helps fight off illness. We are created to connect. That is why the elders were told in James 5 to go as a group and pray over the person who is sick. James 5 also says we must be patient and strengthen our hearts, for the Lord is near. Such good advice for dealing with suffering. Patience, resilience, and having an awareness of the nearness of God is a good formula for healing and wholeness. The reassurance in James 5 that God is compassionate and merciful is helpful too. Many people imagine that when they are sick, it is a punishment from God. And actually, in the ancient Jewish tradition, they used to teach that when you were ill, it was just because you were not being blessed by God. And others believed that only the sinful would suffer. That is why Jesus always reassured those that he healed that they were forgiven. The other prescription from James is to be honest and authentic in your way of being in life. He says in this passage, let your yes be yes and your no be no. None of this wishy-washy way of being in the world. Be truthful, authentic, and honest, and you will be healthier in body, mind, and spirit. Churches were created from the beginning to be places that promoted healing and wholeness. So when Granger Westberg, who Deborah was talking about, started parish nursing, he was a chaplain at a medical center, and he believed that true healing involves the body, mind, and spirit all interconnected, not just the body, not just the mind, and just the spirit separate. And he thought nurses were the best healthcare professionals to make that connection for people in the church and out in the community. But deacons also play an important role in the church as they keep people connected through our Deacon Buddy program, and they pray regularly for people too. and they help people not feel alone in the world, which is a huge gift, especially if you're homebound. You need that spiritual connection, which also helps your physical health and well-being in general. Stephen ministers are also equipped to provide emotional and spiritual support during difficult times. And we're so blessed to have all three, a health ministry, deacons, and Stephen ministry here. Dr. Kenneth Haug, who started Stephen ministry, was a psychologist first, and then he became a pastor. And he recruited men and women who were willing to go through extensive training on how to listen without offering unwanted advice. And so our Stephen ministers are trained in that and are ready to listen patiently without judging as you go through loss, grief, or other stressful changes in your life. Stephen ministers are trained to be caring Christian friends who can help hurting individuals sort out the options and resources that might help them heal. They do not give advice or provide solutions, but they will walk alongside you, pray with you, and provide a confidential listening ear. Now today I've asked Chris Rhodes, if Chris would come up. Chris is a commissioned elder to join me in the anointing with oil. And the Stephen ministers now will go to three separate prayer stations, two in the back and one over here on the side. And they'll be there to pray with you if you want to come to them and have a personal prayer with them. They're set up to hear your prayer requests and just pray briefly with you. And if you would like your head anointed with oil or your hand anointed with oil, you can come forward to Chris and I, and we will do an anointing. So you have three choices. You can come forward for an anointing and receive a prayer and sit and sing or pray silently. You don't have to do any of these three, but if you would like to do all three, we invite you to partake in this time of healing and wholeness. And if you can't come forward, we invite you to raise your hand and we will come to you for an anointing. But first, let's have a blessing of the oil. And please read it with me out of the bulletin in unison. Gracious God, source of all healing, in Jesus Christ you heal the sick and mend the broken. We bless you for this oil pressed from the fruits of the earth, given to us as a sign of healing, forgiveness, and your unconditional love. By your Spirit, come upon all who receive this ministry of compassion, that they may sense your healing touch and feel your peace that surpasses all understanding. In your will and in your ways, may each of us be made whole in body, mind, and spirit, all to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.